This is Rosemary O'Shaughnessy from digitalcontentmanager.ie. You're very welcome to this week's podcast. This podcast is to support business owners who provide services, health, wellness, local and freelancers. And in the podcast, I chat with other business owners about their businesses, and also I share tips and advice about how digital content can help you and your business. So take a moment now and listen to this week's podcast. Hi, Karen. You're very welcome to this week's podcast. So can you firstly tell me how you help business people and obviously people during COVID-19 when many people have had challenges and stresses, etc.?
Yeah, I've become much more busy actually during COVID for that simple reason, because people have experienced a lot more anxiety and stress in how they work or you know, being stuck indoors or whatever it is. All these things have been very challenging. So I've helped a lot of clients with their energy, because I work a lot with energy, some energy modalities. So I work with their energy, because when you're feeling stressed and anxious, yeah, it means your energy is very low, your vibration frequency is very low. So I will work with people to increase their vibration and frequency so that they become more calm and relaxed. And, you know, when you're calm and relaxed, you make much better decisions. When you're stressed, you don't make great decisions at all. So, you know, and it has like a knock-on effect, because the more stressed you are, the more it brings stress and, you know, goes into a ever-decreasing circle. So, yeah, so actually teaching people how to use some of the things that I do is also something that I love to do with any clients, to help them with their businesses, you know, because you've got to make good decisions, but help them in their personal lives. Actually, every area of your life, you know, you need to feel calmer and more relaxed when you deal with things. So yeah, so I work with all my clients in that way, teach them how to use the skills so they have tools to use whenever these challenges come up, whether it is business, leisure, family, whatever it is, that it sort of works all round.
Yeah, that makes sense. And especially as you say, stress, because one thing is if someone's really stressed, the car keys or whatever, and you can forget something like that. But obviously, if you think about that, if it has such effect on your memory, that's going to affect your performance and that's going to affect your business. Now, as well as that, you help people with EFT. So can you explain how that can help people emotionally and also physically?
Yeah, so EFT is an energy modality, and it works on similar points that acupuncture and acupressure work on. So again, it's about frequency and vibration. And when we're at high frequency, we're peaceful, happy, calm, healthy. And when we're low frequency, you know, that's when we're stuck in sadness, upset, depression, whatever it is. So with EFT, it's tapping on certain points of the body. Like I say, they correlate with acupuncture, acupressure. So they're meridian points. And if you think of the body as about 80% water, so when you tap on something that's 80% water, it vibrates, which changes the vibration, changes the frequency. It's rippling. So it's a way of letting go of stagnation in the body. So when we're in upset, anger, whatever it is we're in, it's stagnant. Yeah. So we're human beings. We're meant to feel everything. You know, there's no such thing as a bad emotion. However, you know, if we get stuck in it, if we don't let it go, it just stagnates in the body. Yeah. We're holding on to it. So EFT works in a way that when you're tapping on those points and saying certain things, like we use setups, which are words that sort of sum up how we feel. And then we tap, it focuses the unconscious to be conscious, and it releases from wherever in the body that stagnation is. So the series of points sort of correlate with every part of your body where this stagnation could be. correlates with all the meridian points. So yeah, it allows it then to move, the energy to move. And quite often what people will find is they feel a bit sleepy or a bit lightheaded. Or some people go the other way and they feel energized. So it sort of depends on the individual. But either way, they tend to feel something that sort of feels like, oh, I've let go of something. Something's releasing. Yeah. You can't always verbalize it, you know, but you know something's shifted. You can feel it. I get a lot of my clients yawn. Yeah. And I always say I'm the only therapist who loves people yawning, because I know then they're shifting energy. Yeah. So yeah, that's sort of how it works. That's the premise of it. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And also you very kindly gave me a session before we actually did this podcast. So yes. I report back on my experiences of it. One thing I found at first, I found very calming. I found my energy seemed to increase that day, which was absolutely great. Yeah. But over since that time, it was about 2 weeks ago we did it.
Yeah.
It has seems to have given, even though I feel I am focused and I have a lot of clarity, it has given me that extra level of focus. Which is critical when you're running a business, that you have clarity, you have focus. And as they would say in my sector, is not be tempted by shiny objects in all the wrong directions. And also, if you let yourself be affected by distractions, you're going to get less done, you're going to achieve less, and you're obviously going to be able to help clients less as well. Now, another area that you can help people with, and I would have personal experience because I work remotely. And now people are working remotely. They are spending more time using technology. And even when we were all physically going to work, we might have got into the car in the morning. Maybe if you were very good, go for a walk before when you arrived at work for a little while. But you were doing a whole load of different things that were helping you step back from technology. Now people can have that technology. They could be working in a living room. And in the same living room, resting. So you're around the technology all the time, and that can't be good for our physical health. So any recommendations, if it is, how to deal with that, anything that we physically can do to make sure we're at our best?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a combination of things, really. So I personally use some great EMF shields. I would definitely recommend people use EMF shields. You know, if they want to contact me, that's fine, or find their own, you know, that's fine. But definitely look into very effective EMF shields, because we're all on technology a great deal. And if you don't know about it, EMF radiation is a frequency, and it disrupts our health. So as I've talked about before, we're a frequency. If you imagine you're bombarded by these frequencies all day long, you know, it's going to affect your health. So I would definitely recommend those. Equally, you know, I would use EFT to help yourself to let go of what I find is distractions happen because you've got that technology there all the time, you know, whereas, you know, normally if you go to an office and come home, you sort of have an end of day, if you like, and you might leave it behind or you turn it off or whatever, but it's there and you're tempted to use it. So I use it to set boundaries. So, you know, using EFT just to allow yourself to relax and let go of work, because I think where the boundaries are very fuzzy now, we tend to keep going. So in effect, I think people are working harder. So allowing yourself, say, you know, almost taking that hat off and saying, you know, this is the time I stop. I'm turning my laptop off. I'm not using my phone for an hour or whatever it is, because, you know, even if you have great EMF shields and protection, you still don't want to be constantly on technology. You know, you need some downtime. We all need some downtime. So definitely EFT for that. Breathing exercises, meditation, just setting aside time. Yeah, setting aside time for ourselves. And I think we had a conversation, Rosemary, about allocating time, you know, and that tells me when people say that, that they're probably not very good at it. Yeah. So actually realizing that you need to fill yourself up first. You need to look after yourself. And I think in Britain, definitely, and probably in many other countries, we're very much talked about everyone before ourselves and ourselves last. And for me, that's no, it doesn't make any sense at all, because you can't pour from an empty jug. Yeah. So you've got to be full to look after other people. So actually to give yourself that time and say, OK, you know, I've worked all day and I may not have finished what I wanted to finish. And that technology is sitting there and I could carry on. However, I'm now on empty and whatever I do from now is not going to help. So I'm actually going to put that down. I'm setting this boundary. This is my time and this is important. To you know, fill my jug or refill my batteries, whatever way you want to look at it, so that you're on full energy, you know, when you go back to what you do. So that's what I would advise to people: set those boundaries. You know, look up EFT. I mean, I can give my website if that, you know, if that's okay for people to find, because I have a free download on there that, you know, people can just use, because it's such a great technique. For doing that. Also, like I said, meditation, definitely, breathing exercises, just getting yourself back to you and not ahead of yourself dealing with all this stuff at work that so desperately needs doing. Yeah, just stepping back. It can be done tomorrow. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. And like, even on a personal level, if, for example, someone is caring for a child or an elderly relative, you don't look after yourself, you can't look after them. But equally in business, if you are employing people, you're a leader, if you're not looking after yourself, you actually, obviously, that's going to affect confidence, leadership abilities, and that will the business and people are working for you. So it's very, very true. There's another area that you can give us all advice, and that is using visualization. Because obviously, if we can use the right resources with visualization to make our present better, and then obviously to make our future better, and not keep repeating certain things that mightn't have worked well for all of us. So how would you use that tool for people to use in their business and personal life?
Okay, so yeah, visualization is hugely effective, because our brains actually don't know the difference between what we're actually experiencing and what we visualize. That's why dreams are so vivid and feel so real. So if you can visualize where you want to be, so it's something I tend to call desired self. Yeah. So we all have an idea of where we want to be, I don't know, say in a year's time. So if you can visualize your desired self, yeah, whether it's a work desired self or a family, whatever, it doesn't matter. Visualize that. Visualize not just how you look, but that is important. So how you would look, whether you're smiling, how you're standing, how you're holding yourself, how you're breathing. Yeah, imagine that. Add anything into that visualization, because it's yours. You can add whatever you like. Add people that you'd like to be around. Yeah. Add something that you're looking to gain in business or in your home life, and maybe new premises. Imagine being in new premises when we're all allowed out again. Whatever it is, imagine it in that as your desired self. Yeah. And you're looking at it. Make it vivid. Make the colors really vivid. Put your favorite colors in there. Yeah. So, you know, put turquoise blue or bright red or whatever you want in there. Make it really clear. Yeah. But you're seeing yourself. You're looking at yourself. Once you've done that, you almost don't attach yourself to it. You set it out there. Yeah. And what it will do, I see it as, it's like putting a outboard motor on your rowing boat. Yeah. Because it's there. You can see it. It's clear. It's there and it's driving you. But you don't have to think about how you're going to get there, because it's motivating enough, because you've made it motivating. It's bright, it's colourful, you look happy and peaceful and content. Yeah, that's motivating enough. So just by doing that, you will work towards it, and you'll find better ways. You will be more motivated to get there, and you'll overcome things easier because you can see clearly where you want to go. Yeah, does that make sense?
It does, because in fairness, if you kind of have a plan and you have clarity of your plan, it's easier to find the how to do things. Like, exactly. For example, if it was something, someone mightn't have a skill, but then yeah. They knew, for example, they wanted a website. They knew, now they know the two choices. They get yeah. someone who knows how to create a website, or they actually go yeah. and learn those skills themselves.
Yes, yeah,
so
exactly.
If you have the visualization, then yeah. you work out the how, and then yeah. you work out the plan.
And The how doesn't matter. You will get there. It's the why that matters. Why you're doing it. The purpose. The passion. The visualization of it. The whole bringing it to life is what happens. If you can visualize it, it's possible. If it's possible, you'll find a way of getting there. Yeah. Yeah. If it's not possible, if you can't visualize it, then, you know, for me, I'd be going back to EFT and working on, you know, what's that? Why can't I visualize it? Why is that not possible for me? And getting rid of any stoppers and blockers that will get you to where you want to go.
Yeah, yeah. That makes a lot of sense as well. Now, as well as that, we all know COVID is here. And we don't know how long COVID is going to be here for. So obviously your business, like everyone else's businesses, has had to adapt. So how have you found you've actually been able to help clients using online tools? Like, for example, we know each other from Zoom. We know each other from networking. We know each other because obviously we both work in the health wellness space.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And have you any tips to that we can do these things to be as effective as we can for our business as well?
And what I've found more than anything during COVID is your network is so important. You know, who you connect with, seek out people who are like-minded, connect with them, collaborate with them. You know, there's always something you can share, there's always something you can learn, and the bigger your network is, you know, the more people refer people to you and you refer people to them. That's how the world works, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
And that's what COVID has opened up, as far as I'm concerned. So although there was this initial adaptation, because I used to work in clinic, you know, and now I'm online, what it has done is it's opened the world up, because now people don't look for a therapist in my area, they look for a therapist. It doesn't matter where they are. So, you know, no longer do I used to get phone calls where people would say, oh, well, where are you? And they say, oh, that's a bit far, you know, whereas now no one says that. It's just, okay, I want to work with you. Great. Okay, let's go on Zoom. So Zoom's opened up a lot of things, but I think definitely using Zoom has been a real life saver for therapists. You know, I think therapists have thrived in this era. As much as COVID's not been great, we've been able to help people a lot more, which is great. Networking, I've networked far more since COVID, and met up with lovely people like yourself and others who are like-minded, and you know, we've done stuff together. So I've done shares with a lady called Christine Pitt, who does yoga, and we do this lovely free yoga and EFT session once a month for people. You know, I wouldn't have done that before. I'm doing online talks. We have our own online talks that we run, myself and my colleague Suzanne. We run those. We wouldn't have done that before. We sort of came together. We knew each other, but we came together and set that up. So I think there's a lot of areas you can adapt really well, because Zoom talks now, there's so many of them, and you don't have to leave your home. So yeah. In actual fact, although we've all been forced to adapt, it's very easy actually to adapt. And if we just embrace it and say, okay, so I can't see people in person, that's right, what can I do? And again, you know, we have these talks where we have numerous therapists on there listening and talking, and we all learn something. And I just find that's the benefit of it. You've got to look at what this has given us rather than what it's taken away. And that's what it's done for me and colleagues and friends and the people I connect to. So hopefully that's helpful to people, that they can see it perhaps in a different way. You know, what can I do rather than what can't I do? There are more options. There are opportunities.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have found during COVID, I found myself teaching more and again, doing more presentations, all that side of things. I'm gradually seeing people be more confident when you're teaching, asking questions and everything, and more open to learn. The kind of culture of learning is changing very much as well. Yeah. So there's kind of a lot of positive things are happening there, because previously it would have been just do this work, where now it's do this work or help me do this work, but also teach me because I want to be independent because it's uncertain. I agree with you. Now, equally, as you're saying, working with therapists and helping therapists, and like you've years of expertise and experience, what recommendations would you have for therapists running their business during COVID and when COVID ends?
I guess, again, it goes back to your network. So in therapists, it's an interesting area, because when we weren't in COVID, I think we were quite insular, because a therapist works with a client, you know, and it's not like going to the office and meeting everyone. So definitely in COVID, I think it's encouraged us all to come together more. So I would definitely encourage therapists to expand their network, contact other therapists, just reach out on LinkedIn or you know, those sort of platforms. It's very easy to reach out to people and say, you know, I'd like to connect. I want to connect with like-minded people. And those connections can bring, you know, real opportunities to expand, to refer people. So, yeah, that's what I've found during this time is my connections are much stronger. I've got much more expansion of who I'm connected to, who I talk to, who I learn from. Because as a therapist, you constantly want to learn too. There's much more training. So if you're a therapist, get out there and do some online training. You know, there's loads of it out there, and a lot of it is free. So, you know, take advantage of that. And then as we come out of lockdown, I think what this has shown us is that we can all work remotely if we want to. There's going to be people who'd rather see you in person. And it is nice to see people in person. I do like that. So I will go back to that mode as well. But equally, if they can't make it, you know, for some reason, let's go on Zoom, you know, or, you know, if there are clients who are further away, again, you can use Zoom. So you've now got this duality going on, that you don't just have to see someone in person. You can see them on Zoom or Skype or whatever you want to use. So, yeah, I would suggest to therapists, reach out, make your networks bigger, use both. Once we're out of it, use both, and do presentations, do talks to people. That's the other thing that I've got very comfortable with now. You know, initially when you see yourself on Zoom, I think you're a little bit like, oh, it's me, but I've done it so much now, you get very comfortable. So, you know, do presentations. I've done quite a few, and you just do them and it reaches more people. Again, your networks are widening. So use these ways of widening your networks, even when you're back in clinic. You know, you can do it then. Once you're used to presenting to people on Zoom, it's quite easy to adapt that to back in person again, because we're used to being around people. So, yeah, those would be my tips for how to make your therapy practice work better.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think presentations can be a very, very important tool, because it gives you opportunity to talk to people. It gives people the opportunities to come back and ask you questions, learn. Yeah. But also, with doing the presentations, like I was doing a presentation earlier in the week, but then is tying that into your marketing plan in whatever that way is. Like when I was doing the presentation, I gave a workbook, which made it helpful for people. Then if they were serious, they could actually go and apply what I was teaching. And as a consequence of that workbook, I have people coming back and asking me for help. So I think it was a combination of two things. Because in fairness, if you're doing a presentation, and I know, Karen, you'd feel the same, you want to do it as well as you can. You want to do it professionally.
Absolutely.
And it has to be the right presentation for the audience you're with. And like even language and all can affect people's understanding as well as that, which I think is very important. Another thing you said about Zoom, which it kind of crossed my mind, like this week I was to speak to someone on Zoom and they had the unexpected, their dog got sick. So they had to go to the vet. So we were still able to reschedule it and do it that day. Where if that had actually been going to a meeting,
it
probably would have ended up having to be cancelled.
That's true. Yeah. And I agree with you on the workbook idea is usually if I do a presentation, there's a handout which you can easily send electronically, obviously, and then people have got it and they've got your details. And the thing is, the more you have that presence online, the more people think that they know you and that they begin to trust you because they see you constantly giving that same message, you know, and they can tell that it comes from your heart, that you really mean this stuff, you know. So they're going to come to you because, you know, you want someone who really passionately believes in what they're talking about. So if you present that and you give things because you want to just share, because you want to give to people and help people, then they're going to come to you for that. So, you know, it just works, I think. You know, it's about serving, isn't it? You talked about that earlier. It's about serving. And that's really important. Definitely for a therapist, you know, it's about serving and helping people.
Yeah. And have you found that there is any particular things that just stand out that has helped therapists during this time for their marketing and keeping their business going? Any platform or just anything that your network has mentioned that has worked during this time?
LinkedIn has definitely been a really good platform for me, and a lot of my colleagues have used LinkedIn. I think what I like about LinkedIn is because it's business orientated. So, you know, if you're everyone on there is really looking at business. So you've got the right audience there. So, you know, I've used Facebook a bit, but it's a bit hit and miss, I find. I don't know what you find, but for what I do, I find LinkedIn good.
Yeah, I would myself for like LinkedIn for simple reasons. People are in a business mindset. So they want to hire you. They want to know what your skills are. They want to know what kind of work you have done. For example, LinkedIn, your recommendations and all. If somebody writes one on LinkedIn, they want to look well themselves for their professional community. So people will think twice about doing a LinkedIn recommendation. And that means it has more influence, and influence is a part of trust, and trust is to do business.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely agree with that. It is about trust, rapport, professionalism, and I think that all comes across. So LinkedIn, definitely I would recommend. That's been my go-to really for connecting to other therapists, getting referrals, showing people what you do. You know, it's quite easy to put something out there on LinkedIn and, you know, people comment on it and you all sort of get to know each other on there. And again, that trust builds. So, yeah, I would say for business, LinkedIn is the way forward that I've found.
I would equally say working in the health niche, it depends on is your customer business to business or the public and all kinds of things. I would find for people in kind of schools, health, that kind of thing, they also spend a lot of time on Facebook as well. So it really, it depends on what you're trying to achieve and who you're trying to
reach. Yeah, yeah.
Is a fit. And also for yourself.
I think what you do is you find your tribe, you know. And for me, that was LinkedIn. And, you know, equally, I know people who've used Facebook, but it seems that most people I know seem to quite like the way LinkedIn is set up and how it communicates with that audience.
Yeah.
And how it resonates with people. And there's a, you know, you can find thousands of therapists on there. And I do find that link with other therapists really, really important, yeah. You know, because they can do different things. And if you have a network of therapists, and you can refer people. So sometimes I get clients who are dealing with one issue and, you know, we're working with that. And then I'm thinking, actually, I think they benefit from this person, you know. So you'll pass them over and you'll say, look, I really think you benefit from this. I know someone who does that and they're really good because you've probably swapped, you know, because this is something else that I would do on LinkedIn. If I meet up with someone like I did with you, is I'll swap therapy. So then they know what you do. You know, so they're going to promote you and you're going to promote them. And, you know, with confidence, because I wouldn't want to promote someone that I didn't know what they did, you know, because it's a personal recommendation. So if I'm going to pass a client over, I'd like to say, I've had experience of this. I think this would really help you. Would you like to try it? So, you know, there's lots of benefits to that networking.
Yeah, I agree. Because we all want, if we recommend someone, we want to know that person isn't going to let the person we've recommended to down.
Exactly.
Which is critical, because if someone lets someone you've recommended down, they won't come to you again either.
No, you've lost the trust then.
Yeah, exactly. So it is critical. No, Karen, yeah. You've given some very, very helpful tips, advice, etc. And what I'll do is I will write a blog post and I will include, obviously, your website. And when that's all done, obviously, I'll be back to you about that. And I would like to thank you very much for your time. And obviously, if there is anything else, you know, we will be in touch, etc. So thank you very much, Karen.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. I hope it helps people.
Brilliant. I am sure it will. You gave lots of great advice.
Many thanks for listening to this podcast. This is Rosemary O'Shaughnessy from digitalcontentmanager.ie. I work for businesses who provide services, health, wellness, professional and freelance. I design WordPress websites, manage WordPress websites. I train on Zoom, and as well as that, I create digital content. Why not contact me to book a complimentary call to learn about how I can help you and your business? This is Rosemary O'Shaughnessy from Digital Content Manager. Take care. Bye.